In a very short time, we've been forced to reevaluate our values. Values related to employment, family, and home. As we come out of two history-making pandemic years, connecting with others is more important than ever. But it's safe to say that the way we can and want to connect has changed. We are not-for-profit professionals supporting adults to live, work, and grow in a rapidly changing world. Connection means that we need to work together to build and put into practice whole and multifaceted plans for our clients so that they can reach their own personal successes. For some of us, life is returning to pre-pandemic norms, where we work out of an office on a set schedule. Others may have no office to return to and may spend working hours on a couch or kitchen table in their own home. And some may be straddling schedules where they sometimes go to the office and sometimes work in their own personal space. These experiences are the same for our clients who are navigating a world that is still deciding what work-life will look like. How can we support them while adapting ourselves? Whoever and wherever you are, if you support adults in learning and life, the Getting Connected podcast may be for you. Join us as we talk through relevant topics that support you to do your best work. Grab a coffee, give us just a few minutes of your workday, and let's connect. Hi, everyone. I am Ashley Hoth-Murray, and you are listening to the Getting Connected podcast. I'm joined today by my sharp-witted co-host, Gay Douglas. How's it going, Gay?
I do look forward to hearing how Ashley describes me. Every single podcast, I should have kept a record, Ashley. We'll have to replay them and gather all the words that have been used to describe me. And I would just like to say about that very positive compliment, merci. And
a little hint.
That was a suitable answer, since today we are going to be talking about Francophone adult literacy. Ashley?
Yeah, we've shared in recent episodes that adult literacy in Ontario is broken down into four streams. So we have Anglophone, Francophone, Indigenous, and Deaf programs. Francophone or French literacy, it's always been a very interesting stream to me. It's very clear as to why it exists, because French is, of course, one of our official languages in Canada. But what I've learned over the years is that Francophone programs can often serve a very wide range of clients with a large scope of very diverse needs. Sometimes there are clients that are Canadian born, and French is their first language. And other times, a client may be an immigrant or a new refugee from French-speaking countries. So today we're going to learn more about Francophone adult literacy in Ontario.
Thanks, Ash. It is my pleasure to introduce two people who are not strangers to Literacy Link Niagara. They happen to be the two representatives from the two Francophone agencies, LBS agencies here in Niagara. So first of all, I am going to go in alphabetical order. We have Linda and Lorraine. So I'm going to start with Linda Johnston. And Linda is the executive director of L'ABC Communautaire. And I apologize for my poor French language skills. It's the best I can do. I've been practicing that for 25 years, and maybe I can use some coaching. So maybe you could help me with that, Linda. She's one of the new kids on the block here in Niagara. She's been with the agency a couple of years now, just over a year, right, Linda?
Yep, just over a year in April.
Over a year in April. So we're glad to have her aboard. So a little more about L'ABC and Linda. L'ABC is the community-based Francophone agency. It's based in Welland, Ontario. They offer a variety of workshops and support for adult literacy learners. And as Ashley has aptly described, a very rich, diverse group of people. And they offer everything from literacy upgrading, French conversational courses, and art courses. This is fascinating. And new courses are added as learners' needs change and opportunities emerge. So more about Linda. is she, this is a wonderful story of LBS success. She is an LBS success story. Linda started as a learner at Les Baissés 20 years ago when her children were school aged. She wanted to sharpen her French skills. And so she went back to upgrading to improve them. Throughout the year, she continued working with several Francophone not-for-profits, all the while continuing her relationship with Les Baissés. Then she had her own business for a while. She was a virtual office assistant. Many interesting clients. And after that, she was serving as a board member at Les Baissés. Then the opportunity opened up that Les Baissés was looking for a new executive director. She applied for the position. And the long story short is that she was the successful candidate, and now she is part of our local network. So welcome to you.
Thank you.
Yep. Good to see you and good to hear you. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to also introduce Lorraine. So Lorraine works at College Boreal. And Lorraine, what's your official position?
I'm the program coordinator.
The program coordinator at College Boreal here in Niagara, based at Niagara College. College Boreal has 7 campuses and 12 LBS sites throughout the province. And we're fortunate to have Lorraine in the local site here. It's actually also in Welland, and you ladies are going to tell us a little more about Welland and its very specific, unique culture. So Lorraine has been with College Boreal since 2013. She is a Welland girl. She's born and bred in Welland. She attended Confederation Secondary School. She ended up with a Bachelor of Business Economics from Brock. Worked at the District School Board of Niagara for 22 years before coming to College Boreal in 2013. So yes, she's a born and bred Wellandite. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yep, so we have a couple of prepared questions. We're going to really find out more about Francophone literacy, how it is distinctly different from the other streams, and what you'd like us to know about it. So I'm going to ask both of our guests, is this the first time, Ashley, we've had two guests?
We have done a panel before.
Oh yeah, we did a panel. That's right, we did a panel of moms, parents who were talking about the literacy skills necessary to support their children in homeschooling. That was an interesting one, but this is the first time we've actually had two guests.
We did have ABEA talk about the Career Ladders Project.
Oh, that's right.
We have two guests then as well, but it is a different experience when we have two guests on.
It is. And we want to make sure that everyone gets equal time and an equal voice during this conversation. So I'm going to ask both of our guests the same questions and get some feedback from both of you. It'll be quite fascinating because while I know both of your agencies have the cultural and the language component, you're quite different types of literacy and basic skills organizations. So I'm first going to ask Linda, would you define for us, what is adult French literacy? And who is a typical client? And then I'll ask Lorraine the same question.
Sure. And I think it is going to be two very different answers. Because at Abbé Communautaire, what we do is we have training that promotes personal development to improve things like communication, teamwork, stress management, organizational skills, and autonomy. So we work on skills such as reading, writing, oral communication. So the art classes that you mentioned are more for conversational skills. So while they're doing the activity, they're learning to have the type of conversation they need to have here at in a workplace or whatever.
That's very cool.
Yeah, and that happens a lot here is that we try to incorporate the idea of conversing in French as well as learning the skills they're supposed to be learning. So, and then there's arithmetic skills, computer skills, And it's all just to facilitate the integration into the job market or to continue their studies. Like they want to move on a little further. And I think that's where Lorraine's going to come in. And then we offer personalized courses to those who already work in French. So if they want to reinforce their mastery of the language, we can help with that too. So, and yeah, and like Ashley said, typically our clients are newcomers to Canada. Fewer and fewer we're finding that Canadian-born people are looking for literacy as opposed to the newcomers that are coming to find out what the Canadian culture is and how to integrate themselves into the job market and into the culture and how to learn how to speak to the potential employers here in Canada.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Even though Welland, we were just chatting before we started recording that Welland is a very rich Francophone home for what percentage of the population, Linda?
I think, Lorraine, you said 17%?
17, right.
So 17% of the population in Welland is Francophone. So that's really interesting. So more and more you're seeing newcomers taking up
the
program. One more thing about L'ABC before we, is that how long has that agency been around?
30 years.
30 years. Long history.
I think over 30 years.
Yeah. As a community-based agency.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks, Linda. I'm going to ask Lorraine the same question about, from your vantage point as a college program, how do you define adult French literacy and who's your typical client?
So for us, the program that I offer is adult upgrading. So that means that the majority of my students are looking to continue post-secondary studies, they're thinking of going to the college. So we offer, we do offer a flexible program trained to meet their needs. We have the ACE certificate, which is recognized as the equivalent of the grade 12 diploma for acceptance to college. So that's what we prepare our students for. They take four courses with us, and that's considered the grade 12 equivalent. So it's interesting, Collège Boréal has been around for over 25 years now. We celebrated our 25th anniversary during the pandemic. But so our main campus is located in Sudbury, but we have campuses, seven sites throughout the province. What I've learned over the years is students, if they want to continue their studies in French, at the post-secondary level would, you know, either need to move to Sudbury or Toronto or Windsor, where one of our sites are, or if their English is sufficient, they can go to Niagara College. So I have had some students do that. And that's the reason why we have such a great partnership with Niagara College, because it's a win-win for both. So that being said, we prepare them for post-secondary, but we do also offer, you know, courses should someone need it for the workplace. It's always an advantage to be bilingual. I feel that the more languages that you can speak, the better off you are. So our adult upgrading program is free. But once students go on to post-secondary, obviously there's a cost for that. But we help them do the online applications and all of that. What I forgot to mention as well, though, is the ACE certificate is for entrance to post-secondary, but also for. So in some areas, the French programs are unique because we do have apprenticeships for early childhood educator, for teacher aid, that type of thing. Since starting at the college, I would say that the majority of my students are newcomers to Canada. So
the same experience as Linda and her agency.
Yeah. And we do work well together, Linda and I. So sometimes students will go to L'ABC, maybe they need to work on their math skills or something. And then when they can, you know, transfer over to us. But yeah, so they tend to be newcomers. So for both our programs, students have to be 19 years of age, residents of Ontario, and have to have a certain level of fluency in French for our programs.
Fascinating. It really is. And, you know, this is interesting for me because even though we meet around the literacy planning table on a regular basis, I think this is the first time I became aware for sure about your typical clients, and easing their transition between programs is a really good feature of the two of you working so well together.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that you pointed out that you're both seeing the same type of client, like a client that's not Canadian born as your typical client. Can you just share where those clients are coming from?
Typically, generally.
Oh,
what countries?
Everywhere, all over.
So give us just a couple of examples of countries they may have come from.
Well, typically Haiti, yeah. Congo, a yeah. fair number from France.
France, yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And is it typically like, is there a typical age that you see these clients coming in? Like, are they looking to work? Like,
well, it all depends on their circumstance. A lot of them, they do come here and they have a work visa. I would say the majority have families. So in some cases, the mother will come with the kids and the dad might still be in Haiti. And they have like a lot of immigration issues, I find. And what we've also noticed, I think both Linda and I, is that with the pandemic, it's taking a really long time for people to get social insurance numbers, have their immigration status approved. So some of them are kind of in limbo until all those things are put into place. But from my perspective, they tend to be families. A lot of them that come, the parents realize that it's going to be difficult for them here to adjust, but they tend to do it because they want something better for their children.
Very, very interesting.
Very. Yeah. Linda, would you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. And we do actually have some of our learners who come here to learn how to go through the system, to learn how to do. I actually helped one of our learners, citizenship.
Yeah.
And just to navigate, because it had to be online, and he didn't know how to really do all of that online. And so he came here for help with that. It was quite interesting. It was very, very.
Well, talk about life skill and talk right. about what's relevant. It's funny. That's been the theme through our conversations with other guests this morning, is the idea of relevant information and meeting the learner where they are. And that's right. a key one. So not have these folks, and many of them, and many of these newcomers arrived at your door, but they're coming at a difficult time.
And exactly.
Certainty, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
I think that leads us very well into the next question. One, I think most adult literacy programs, no matter the stream, they are very aware of other programs that could help support their clients and learners. But I think that just the examples that you've shared highlight the unique community partnerships that you must connect with to support your learners. And it's really kind of, you case manage almost, you have a global view of what your learners need. So being that you have this perspective, and we'll start with you, Lorraine, for these questions. What are some gaps in service that you see, and what are some misconceptions about the services that you specifically offer that then maybe you have to reach out to other community partners to fill?
Okay, so Linda and I did talk about this beforehand. One of the gaps we felt was, you know, French as a second language is something that the college does offer it, but a person has to pay for that. In terms of what you're talking about, though, I do feel like we do have certain agencies that we refer to fairly regularly. So for example, we have Le Centre Santé that deals with settlement issues. We have Le Centre d'Emploi et Ressources Francophones, South Niagara, so that's the employment center. There are services available in French. There's also even an Ontario Works caseworker who speaks French. So I think it's important that when people come here, the newcomers don't necessarily identify that their first language is French. And so sometimes that can cause issues because they don't understand the services they're receiving. So that is probably a gap. And another gap that we felt was that there's so many different language assessments out there for people. So there's a difference between Canadian language benchmarks, and then there's a difference between what secondary schools and colleges require. So sometimes that's difficult to explain to people that are new, because every education in Ontario is very different usually from what they're accustomed to.
Right. Yes, that's a good point. Linda, do you have some feedback on gaps in service and maybe misconceptions about your own services?
Well, like Lorraine pointed out, standardized language evaluation would be nice, because then we can, when learners are going from, if they're going from one service to another, we can share the information that we've gathered on that person, so that it's kind of more, like I said, it's standardized. And the misconceptions are really just the French as a second language. We get a lot of calls here saying we're looking to learn French as opposed to improve French. And unfortunately, we can't offer that. But I think that if we could, it would just help learners that much more. I think that if we were have the capacity to offer French as a second language, it would be even better.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know, because I think what I'm hearing is it's about creating a culture, a community where French is really able to be spoken. You know, because obviously in many of our communities, English is the primary language.
That's
and
right.
So an example that I'm going to share personally is that we moved from a school board where French was not available for my kids in terms of immersion unless they were going to drive across town. We didn't see it until later. So grade one, although then they would have to be bused quite far, or a late immersion being grade four or five. And now we've moved to a community that really embraces French, and I can send my toddler when he enters school in a few years to immersion as a junior kindergartner. And I can just speak to the community that we live in now, as there's a lot more French signage. There's a lot more people, you know, speaking French in the community. And I feel moving from somewhere where I was the one that was maybe the primary language, it was always expected to be English for me. I'm now thinking, oh, myself, I need to be really aware of French being in my community, and I need to learn more myself, and I want my kids to know more. And you know, my husband is really interested in growing his knowledge of the French language, and then it will just be more embedded in our lives. So I think that's a really important piece. The more that we can encourage French language, the better. And I think personally, it is a shame that as an adult, if you want to learn French and your first language is English, you do have to pay for it because it doesn't create that community that we want.
Right. And another thing too is that when newcomers come to Canada and they don't necessarily, like Lorraine said, identify as French or English, they tend to be streamed into the English services as opposed to given the option. Well, it's not that they're not given the option. It's just that it's kind of almost like an automatic reaction towards the English.
It's like the default, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly
the default is when in doubt, send them to the English.
Right.
Well, and one of the things too, though, is that the Francophone school boards don't really have adult education. Like the English boards do here. So, you know, Niagara Catholic or District School Board of Niagara, they have the lifetime learning centers for adults, and the Francophone boards don't have the equivalent of that.
It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Linda and I talked about that, how that's, you know, there's a really big need for that.
Interesting. We'll have to bring that up. I think that's a really interesting fact that maybe mm-hmm. most of our literacy service planning groups not aware of. We're learning so much from our guests around what we also, right, Ashley, assumptions we had made in the past.
Absolutely.
Because we're actually getting to focus in on real conversations with people. That's really helpful. I'm going to ask a question, and this is our official final question. And we ask the same nebulous question to everyone because we'd like you to interpret it as you would like. And here is the question. What is the one tool, the one material, the one resource, the one approach, something that you wish people used more often? And I'm going to start with Linda, please.
Well, for me, you know, it would be nice if we could have some sort of evaluation of the learner's technical skills. Right now, at this point, we're finding that more and more everything is being done through the internet. And we often have learners who'll come in and say, oh, yeah, we have all the technical skills we need, but they don't necessarily have them. And so it would be nice to know what their level of computer skills and technical skills is before we get started with a lesson plan.
So a nice, not easy to apply, but an effective tool that is not tremendously complicated or expensive that yep. help you assess a learner's technical skill.
Right.
When it comes to computer knowledge and
right.
application.
Right.
That's worth looking into and finding out if perhaps it exists. And does it exist in French will be the big question.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Chances are not.
Right. Exactly.
But thank you for that. That's worth really following up and thinking about. How about you, Lorraine? What do you think is not used either? That was a great suggestion, Linda. Either something that is missing that you wish you had or something that you wish more people used?
So I completely agree with the technology skills because the pandemic has really made this a big divide. You know, we do work one-on-one with our students through Zoom, and some of them are really thriving, those that are computer literate. And it's you know, a fairly complex set of skills. But the other thing, too, that I wish we had was something more along the lines of soft skills, you know, show up on time. You have to submit your work 2 days before so that the teacher has time to look at it, correct it, and prepare for the next time. So it's more of those types of things, like if you're not going to show up, please let us know before, or, you know, we will log on to Zoom and we'll wait for 5 minutes, but we're not going to sit there for 20 minutes waiting. So it's more the soft skills that we need people to know more about or to work on more.
Yeah.
Interesting. Thank you very much. I've made notes of that to find out, first of all, if anything does already exist that you may not be aware of and whether it's available in French. Ashley?
Yeah, I think this for me has been a very informative show. I'm really thankful. Dan are both very thankful that you joined us today and shone a light on Francophone literacy in Ontario. So thank you very much, Linda and Lorraine. And thank you for listening, listener. We look forward to getting connected next time.